from the Acts of the Apostles, verses that you've already heard in your hearing. And we'll read verse 51 through 54 again. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers or and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Supporting scripture this morning, coming from the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus out of the 32nd chapter, beginning at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sanctified thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. How do you handle a stiff-necked child of God? How do you handle a stiff-necked child of God? Hallelujah. At first, the Lord was leading me, and I wanted to use a stiff-necked Christian, but I want to make sure that all of us are included. So we're going to talk about the children of God this morning with the stiff necks. How do you handle a stiff-necked child of God? We find this morning that it's not by our goodness that we're here. It's not because we are so special. It's not because we have sort of arrived. Sometimes we feel like if we are able to testify that we are saved, we think that we've already arrived. But how many of you know that once you get saved, that's when the devil really gets busy? And then we got to understand that after salvation, you still live in life, and you live life in a mean, cruel world. You live life amongst people that some love God, some don't love God. So you got to have your own mind made up as to what you are going to do with your life and with yourself and with the time and energy that God has given you. All of us got to understand this morning that there's a purpose of your being. There's a reason why God allowed you to be called a man or a woman or whoever you might be this morning. God made you for a particular purpose, and after making you, he loves you, and he provides for us, and he continues to do things that nobody else can do, and it's only by his grace and his mercy that he's allowed us another opportunity to come into this place of worship, to offer thanksgiving, praise, and worship to a mighty, merciful God. I thank God this morning for his mercy. For that mercy, sometimes when we realize just who we are, and sometimes when you are honest with yourself, we just realize I don't deserve to be as blessed as I am, but I serve such a loving, merciful God, I can't help but tell God thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I thought that I wasn't going to make it, God stepped right in and let me know that everything was going to work out all right. Sometimes when the enemy shakes his head no at you, you got to look to the hills and know where your strength come from. That there's some folk in here under the sound of my voice that hadn't had good days every day, but you know what it is to have a good day. So when you weigh out your good days amongst your bad days, how many of you are glad that your good days outweigh your bad days? Hallelujah, Jesus. How many of you are glad that you had more days that you had a smile on your face than days that when you were walking around all hummed down and sort of grumbling and complaining? There comes a time that even in the midst of your trials, you got to learn how to give God praise. Even in the midst of persecution, we got to learn how to keep the right face. We got to learn how to keep the right spirit. And don't let the devil, the enemy, get the best of you. You got to understand this morning that we live in and are confronted with different things. But we got to know that the word of God has all power. And it is able to do whatever we need it to do. All of our lives, we've been faced with trials and tribulations. We all have had good days and bad days. And there are some things that we do well, and then there are some things that we just don't know how to do. And that's why it's important to understand that we need one another. A lot of us like to think that I can make it all by myself. But every now and again, I thank God that I got a human friend that I can talk to. I thank God that I got somebody that I can call and somebody that can every now and again just embrace me and let me know that it's going to be all right. So the Bible declares that the strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. So don't get the big head because you are up on your feet and you got your head above water. Because if you're strong enough to be above water, then that brother, that sister that seemingly is sinking down, that is your opportunity to do something good. Just lend a helping hand and help pull them up out of the situation that they might be going in. Anybody in here ever had to have a little assistance, had to have somebody or something to just sort of give me a little pull and help me get up out this mess? Anybody want to be honest with yourself this morning? Anybody ever been just in a total mess and begin to wonder and talk to God, Lord, how am I going to get out of this situation? And God steps in and do just what we need him to do. The Bible declares, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We got to understand that we can't run other folk down just because they made mistakes in life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us in here need to know that God is a loving and forgiving God. We got to understand that we are all members of one body, and that body is the body of Christ. Now, in this body of Christ, we have different shapes, different colors, and different ways that we do things, but we are all children of a mighty God. He is the one that formed us from the dust of the ground. He is the one that breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and after which we became living souls. We are his very special creation. We were made in his own image and given a heart for feeling and a mind that we can think. And he allows us to be free to make our own decisions and choices. So many of us do what we want to do, despite whatever the rules or the policies or the procedures might be. In all aspects of life, at a certain time in our lives, we feel like I can do what I want to do. And we find ourselves fussing at our teenagers about trying to be too grown, but don't forget where you come from. Hallelujah. Don't you remember that even in your teen years, you thought a little bit more of yourself than you ought to thought? In your teen years, you thought you were a little growner than you were. In your teen years, you got yourself in some mess that somebody else had to bail you out. So don't begin to think that it just started. We got to understand nothing new is under the sun. All of us have done some right and all of us have done some wrong. And we got to understand that there's going to come a time you got to do it the way the word of God tells us to do it. Then we got to understand that there's always going to be a critic in the crowd. Don't you remember last week we talked about don't let what they say faze you? So you got to have your mind made up, and you got to know that regardless of what they say, if you be not weary in your well-doing, you shall reap if ye faint not. The Bible declares in your own due season. Hallelujah, Jesus. A lot of us miss our season because we are walking around with blinded eyes. A lot of us miss our season because we got a deaf ear to that small, still voice that whispers and talks to us and leads and guides us. A lot of us miss our season because we lean to our own understanding instead of understanding what God would have us to do. It is amazing how God made us from the dust of the ground. God does everything for us, and now we know more than God knows. We got more ideas than God had. We can do it a better way than God. If God said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord, then I want to know why we got so many stiff-necked folk that would rather sit there and hold themselves than to lift up holy hand and tell God, thank you.
Hallelujah!
We got too much sickness in the land. We have gone through too much. We've seen too much. And we talk about the election, but you better worry about your soul. There's going to be no president in glory. But if you get there, you won't have to worry about food. You won't have to worry about shelter. You won't worry about a health plan because you're not going to be sick anymore. Glory. Somebody missed that, Gloria. We trying to get to a better place. Oh, what a wonderful place God created for us. All the beautiful flowers, all the wonderful trees, the beautiful sunshine, the moon and the stars, and everything that God created is good. And we have the audacity to sit under God's blessings like he owes us something. God is a jealous God. God said that we should not have any other gods before him. God has said that if we want eternal life, then we got to learn to love the Lord our God. With all of our heart and with all of our soul and all of our mind, and then our neighbor as ourselves. So we got to love and treat our neighbor right. We got to be aware of the fact that it's not all about us. It's not about our time. It's not about what we've done. A lot of us like to just run down the list of, I did this for such and such, and I did this for what you call it, and I'm going to do this on tomorrow. I paid a whole lot in the offering on last week, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. So what? God has blessed you. So you ought to be willing to give back. Some of y'all going to be mad at me before you get out of here today, but you know what? I don't even care. I have asked God to get me in a place where I can stop being so worried about folk. At the conclusion of our ministers' meeting yesterday, even in the midst of the prayer, when the prayer was over, I asked the minister, pray for me that I get rid of that nagging, complaining spirit and get my joy back. Amen. Complaining at home, complaining when I get to the church, complaining when I go to the minister's meeting. Amen. And a lot of it is because of stiff-necked children of God. Got position, got authority, but want to do what you want to do. The Bible says, there comes a time that we got to do it God's way. Sometimes it's a little hard to do it God's way because you have to deny yourself. When you are able to move yourself out of the way, then the doors are opened up for your blessings to come forth. But as long as you hold yourself, as long as you got things under control, under your own power, other than being under the power of a mighty God, you got to understand that there comes a time you got to be bold enough, like Deacon Stephen, the one that was able, even though he had been falsely accused, even though right there in the midst of his accusers, he were right there in their face. But the Bible declares that his face looked like an angel, even in the midst of persecution. And because of that, the Bible declares that because he stood for what was right, because he said what they didn't want to hear, made them mad. In fact, it made them so mad that they stoned Stephen to death. But now the Bible declares that these people that Stephen was talking to were doing some of the same things that their fathers did before. So that's why I'm taking you back to Exodus this morning. When we look here in the book of Exodus, the Bible said when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, they gathered themselves together and they began to talk to Aaron, and they said unto him, make us a god which shall go before us. And as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we won't not what is become of him. In other words, he's been gone for a mighty long time, and Moses ought to be done come back by now. Moses is our leader. And where is our leader? God has been in the front of us. He's given us a light by day and a light by night that we will be able to make it out of Egypt. But now we're out here in this wilderness, and our leader gone up in the mountain, been up there 40 days or more, and I want to know where he is. I need a God to help me get out of this mess. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which you got in your ears. Take them out of your wives' ears. Take them from your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. All the people took off the earrings and all of the gold, and they gave it to Aaron. The Bible says he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool. After he had made it into a molten calf, they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, how is this golden calf going to be your God, and you just made it and it brought you out? When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. In other words, they just forgot all about God. They started having them a good time. Now that we got us a golden God, everything's all right, so we can eat, drink, and be merry. We can have a party. It's party time. So somebody in the house say, hey, if you want a party, come over to Aaron's today, because Aaron got it going on. Aaron done made us a golden calf. We got a day of celebration. We done offered some things unto the Lord, and let's have a party. Anybody feel like having a party this morning? Hallelujah. But the Lord said, Moses, you better get back down there. Them people that you brought up out of Egypt, they done corrupted themselves. They done lost their mind. They're doing everything but what I told them to do. Turn aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf. They have worshipped it. They have sanctified unto it. And they are even saying that this is their God. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and they are stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. Now let me help some of you stiff-necked folk. Aspirin is not going to loosen your neck. None of those body rubs. You can even go to the doctor and get some rub that got strong medication in it. And you can rub your neck all you want to. It might get hot, but it ain't going to get unstiff. Stiff neck people. How do you get a stiff neck? Most of us, we sleep wrong. Prop ourselves up trying to get comfortable, and all of a sudden you go to sleep, and when you wake up, you find that you got a crook in your neck. You know how it is when folk got stiff necks. When you got a stiff neck, you got to be careful of how you move your body. When you got a stiff neck, you can't do certain moves suddenly. You know how it is when you got a stiff neck. If Alexander say, John Willie, I got a... What? But if your neck's not stiff, pay hands and say, John Willett. You get my point? But that's the wrong point I'm making. Stiff neck means stubborn. Any stubborn folk in here may well be honest. God already know he got it all written down. All your hardheadedness, all the things that you've done in life, it's already been written in the book. So don't be looking at me like, no, he ain't talking to me. I might be. But I don't know if I'm talking to you or not. God knows if I'm talking to you. And if I'm talking to you, God is letting me tell you this morning that there's got to be something done about your stiff neck. You got to get over some things. You got to stop fighting off the Holy Ghost. I'm almost finished. I don't even feel like jumping this morning. The Bible says, have not my hand made all these things? God made everything that we got. But now, Stephen stands before these people. And Stephen began to tell them, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. We just proved that point. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them and showed before of the coming of the just ones. You see, the problem was that Stephen was trying to get them to understand. They were devout Jews, and the Jews believed that the only way to serve God was in the temple or the synagogue. But Stephen was trying to get the people to know, just like I'm trying to get you to know this morning, that you can serve God at your house or coming on the way to the church or right there in Food Line. You don't have to be right here in Fowl's Chapel to feel the presence of God. You don't have to be in Fowl's Chapel to talk to God. But the Jews began to deny that. They said, no, 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 you're wrong, Stephen. You got to be in the temple. You got to be in the synagogue in order for it to be done right. But look at Moses. Look at the children that were traveling all through the lands when there was no sanctuary. They just had what they call a camp meet. That's why I believe the Bible says where two or three gather in his name, we don't have to have a roof over our head. All we got to do is get together and talk about the power of God, and God will be right there. Anybody hear me? Hallelujah! So that was the confrontation that they were having. Stephen was trying to get them to understand some things, but these devout Jews were stiff-necked. They were stubborn. Fighting off the power of God. Then it says, you talked about all the prophets that were before. So now if the Bible says that they talked about the prophets of our forefathers, what make you think they ain't going to talk about you? Don't let what they say faze you. If you know you got religion, then have your religion. If you know God being good to you, they don't know your story. You know your story. Praise him anyhow. Then he says, they even received word of the Lord from the angels themselves. But they still wouldn't keep that word. You see, the problem was disobedience. And stubbornness. A willingness to do what you want to do instead of what God wants us to do. Now, when they heard Stephen made a real man. And said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. and they gnashed on him with their teeth. In other words, they got real mad. In fact, they got so mad. Know how it is sometimes when you got an enemy. The enemy can't get you one way. He'll try to get you another way. But I come to let you know this morning that if you trust the power of God, all you got to do is hold on and hold out. For the Lord's going to make a way out of no way. I stopped by to tell you this morning that if you want to be a true child of God, you got to know how to handle the stiff-necked child of God. In order to handle the stiff-necked child of God, hallelujah, Stephen began to do what thus said the Lord. Stephen stood up for what's right. Stephen told them exactly what the Lord told him to say. The Lord began to deal with Stephen, and Stephen began to let them know that what you're doing is out of order. But I thank God when they began to pull Stephen out of the city, they began to stone Stephen. They began to throw rocks at him. But I believe that in the power of God, Stephen began to look up to the hill. For the Bible says as they were doing what they were doing, Stephen had his eyes fixed on the Lord. And the Lord, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And as he stood there on the right hand of God, he realized that everything is going to be all right. Stephen said, I got faith in a mighty God that even in the midst of persecution, even if you don't like me, I'm going to say what I got to say anyhow. Because I believe that I got to know how to handle the stiff-necked child of God. I want to let you know this morning that in order to handle a child of God, you got to have love. You got to have a determination. You got to pray to the Lord our God. You got to keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't know nobody say that you don't have nothing. If they say that you don't have it, you better hold on to what you got. If they say you better go the other way, you better call on the name of a mighty God. I stopped by to tell somebody that you better loosen up your neck. If you're stiff this morning, God wants you to get your body in shape. God wants you to be able to tell God thank you. God wants you to be able to tell the devil to get behind you. I stopped by to let you know that everything is going to be all right because I learned how to handle a stiff-necked individual. I learned how to have a deaf ear to the stiff-necked individual. I learned how to have a loving heart to the stiff-necked individual. I learned how to reach out and tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Anybody love the Lord? Anybody on the Lord's side? Anybody need help this morning? Anybody need to come out your comfort zone? You can slide out of that situation and ask the Lord to get back in your life. I thank God this morning. I thank God this morning for all that He done in my life. The Lord's been good. He made a way out of no way. He's here right now. Say yeah. Say yeah. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning. Thank God this morning for the power of a mighty God. Thank God for a man of God that'll stand for what's right. Thank God for a woman of God that'll stand for what's right. Don't let nobody keep you from serving the Lord you serve. Don't let nobody tell you that you don't have what God gave you. Because what the Lord has for you, it is for you. You got to hold on and hold out. You see, Stephen realized that I'm in jeopardy of losing my very life. But if I die, let me die. Because I've seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And because of that, look at what Stephen did. He still kept his disposition in order. For he said, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. That's love. That's the love of a child of God. When you know that you've been stoned, beaten, persecuted for what's right, and that same enemy that's against you, instead of asking God to take vengeance on them, he said, forgive them. They don't even have an idea of what they are doing. When you are in darkness, you don't know. So come into his mighty light. How do you handle a stiff-necked child of God. You know any stubborn people in your life? Hallelujah. There are more people that are stubborn that you deal with other than your children. I found out that little kids, they don't hardly know no better no way, but some of them do. But is there an excuse for us old children being stubborn, hard-headed? You see, he said that they were stiff-necked in their hearts and in their minds. So not only were they so stubborn that they were fighting off the Holy Ghost, but they were even fighting off good thoughts. They didn't even want to think right. That's a shame before the Lord our God. But God died for us so that we could think right, so that we could love one another. And the way you handle stiff-necked folk is with love, understanding, and knowing that you too have been delivered by a merciful God.